This is an interview with Mr. Ellis Smith in Durham, North Carolina. It's August 11th, and we are in his home. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on school desegregation in the South, and we've used as part of the Southern Oral Histories Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel. The tape number is 81104ES. Okay, Mr. Smith. Can you tell me how you are affiliated with Hillside? Were you a student or a teacher or administrator? Or?
I was a student at Hillside. As a matter of fact, my entire public education life is through the Durham school system.
Okay.
It was Durham City when I was young. Then, of course, it is now Durham County Schools.
Okay.
Durham
public
schools. Yeah. I saw the change.
Oh, you were...
I saw the change.
When were you a student at Hillside? What were the dates?
I was at Hillside from, I graduated in 1957.
Okay.
And of course, obviously, I was there from 53 to 57.
Okay.
But my other years were, of course, through the public school system in Durham. The elementary school right on straight through.
And so what do you remember most about going to Hillside? I'm learning a whole lot.
Well, in retrospect, I think it was one of the greatest things that ever happened.
Why do you say that?
I say that because I look now. We had teachers at that point who truly cared for
okay.
you, and you could see that.
Okay.
They took absolutely took no prisoners. If you didn't do right, they took you to task about it. And when you learn something, you learned it. They really did a good job, I think. I was blessed to have had some marvelous teachers.
Okay. Was there one in particular?
Well, there were some. I remember all of my teachers, believe it or not.
Really?
Even today, I still remember all of my teachers.
Okay.
I can go back to the first grade and tell you the names of all my teachers. But if you want to deal with the high school things, I met some great people there. Two people that I will never forget. One was Howard Austin.
His name keeps
Prof.
coming up. Prof. Howard Austin.
Prof. Howard Austin. And the next one was Russell Blunt.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about each of those people.
Prof. was the dean of boys at Hillside. He was also the chemistry teacher. He just had a way with people. There was no difference when he was dealing with children. It made no difference whether you were the principal's son or the janitor's kid.
Mm-hmm.
It made absolutely no difference to him. He was firm, but extremely fair. And I do believe that there was an absolute love affair going on with that man throughout the years of my knowledge with him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't demand respect, but his carriage and the way he dealt with people just meant that you gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever seeing anybody being very disrespectful to Prof.
Hmm. Okay.
But different day, different time.
Right. But I've heard that.
Prof was a super person.
Mm-hmm.
Super person. And even after, you know, I was out of school 15, 20 years, you know, you run into Prof, he still called you by your first name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He asked you about your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Name all your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And about all. So he knew his people.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very good man. We lost a jewel when he died.
I heard his funeral was packed.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was packed. And obviously, I was not the only one there. There was
mm-hmm.
a bunch of folks who shared similar comments. Even people he had to discipline felt good about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was good. And I ran for Coach Blunt for 3 years in high school. He was
okay.
Coach Blunt probably coached every sport that he is in high school, but he was also a track coach.
Mm-hmm.
Had a dynasty going during my years. The Hillside track team was undefeated for some 12, 15 years.
Wow.
Well, you must remember that we could only compete against black high schools.
Who did y'all compete against?
Well, schools out of Wilmington, Henderson,
okay.
And of course in the other black high schools in the state,
okay.
we did that. But he had talent there. We
mm-hmm.
had awful lot of talent. And like Prof. Austin, Coach Blunt made no difference in individuals. Mm-hmm. He was truly a genuine person. Lived to be, 93, 96 years old?
Mm-hmm.
His funeral, too, was full of old athletes and people who had wonderful dealings with him. But, you know, it's people like those two guys who made you feel akin to Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of, their reaction and the way they dealt with people just permeated the whole school.
Mm-hmm.
More than getting Hillside had another thing to be awful proud of. Hillside was, for years, Hillside was top dog in athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Football, basketball, track.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We were a contender almost all the time for the titles in those things, in those sports. And because the people who committed themselves, you know, to the sport and dealt with the youngsters who were trying to do those things. Now that was Coach Blunt had a philosophy that was unbelievable. On the team, if you didn't come to practice, I wouldn't care if you were the superstar of the team.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't come to practice, you didn't participate on meet day.
Mm-hmm.
It would have made no difference who you were. Mm-hmm. We'd lose the track meet, but you'd be sitting on the bench. You would not be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing that 2-3 times with stars who didn't think it was important to come to practice. Make you sit out. You can't run. You can't practice. You can't play. That was his basic philosophy. So you put all that into context and with the extracurricular things, and you look at the teachers dealing with the academic side of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Some good teachers. Miss Lakin, Miss Herndon, Miss Riddick. You know, those are people who got the butter from the duck.
I've never heard that before. The butter from the duck.
Got the butter from the duck. So you didn't mess around, and you know you went on. You did your work. So we were involved. We had an outstanding band. Hillside has had a band for eons. You know, I played in the band under Mr. Fillmore Hall.
Okay.
Mr. Hall's name should also crop up in a lot of places because he was He's a little bitty man. I guess he wasn't much over 5 feet tall.
Okay.
Made absolutely no difference. When you went in his band room, you knew who was in control.
Mr. Hall.
Yeah, right. Mr. Hall was in control. For years, he had a renowned band. And when he retired and went away and got old, the band was taken over then by one of his students, Clark Edgerton.
Okay.
Clark Edgerton maintained
that same tradition.
And kids would do, they jump through all kind of hoops to get in that band. I really would. Yeah. So, I mean, they would do everything. Believe it or not, come all the way from across town. I lived on the West End, which is 3 miles from the old Hillside.
Okay.
I'd come over, I'd be there at 6:30 in the morning for practice.
Y'all practice before school?
Oh, yeah, practice before school.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So, you can imagine how far we had come and what time of day, you know, middle of the night. You know.
Right.
Goes, you know, but you did it because you wanted to be in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so
I keep hearing about the band, and I keep hearing about the football teams and the sports. And what was so unique about the band that would make people get up that early in the morning to come to practice?
They were just good.
Good.
They were good, and that was one of the most positive things that you could have in this community.
Was a band.
You know, at a parade, they always put Hillside Band last.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a matter of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
That was a matter of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime Hillside Band came down the street, people followed it. So if you put Hillside Band at the front of the parade, then everybody was following their band and never see the rest of the parade. So that's why they did it. So, and even today, that remains pretty much to the same degree. When Hillside Band come down the street, people just sort of follow it along.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Kason is doing a good job with that band there. And having the background that I do, I can certainly see.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it. So.
Well, it's interesting because I was in the band at Central, and Mr. Kaysen was the band director when I was there. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Hillside was last in the Central parades. We would go first, and Hillside would go last because people were following the Hillside band.
True.
Yeah.
But you had two reasons for that. One of them is exactly what I told you about people following the Hillside band.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that you only had a parade at Homecoming.
Right.
And your band had to get in place to do something else, so mm-hmm. you couldn't afford to be last.
That's true. That's true.
So you had an ample, if you would, replacement mm-hmm. by putting Hillside down. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to end Hillside band, then the fire truck, and that parade.
You're right about that. Okay,
I formed lifelong friendships with people at Hillside. Granted, I've been out of school a little over 45 years mm-hmm. now. And my class has a reunion every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those people who made it a habit to sort of keep up with everybody in the class. And believe it or not, I remember, I'll bet you 90 to 95% of the people mm-hmm. who were in that class right now. And I can pretty much tell you where most of them are. There was just a need to stay in touch with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sort of do that through our class network and our reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it's time for a reunion, I'm the first one who gets a call, you know. Not that I do all the work, but they say, Ellis, when are we going to have a reunion? Well, you can count every 5 years. You know? We taught you how to do it. So, but that's what we do. And we have, after those many years, these many years, we still have 50 to 60 people that show up every year. So I think that's pretty good.
Oh, it's very good. I went to my 15-year high school reunion, and there might have been 40 people there, and that was out of a class of 600.
Well, I'm talking about our class of 234.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, mm-hmm. we still got those back. We, even though you didn't finish school, you may not have graduated. If you were along with us, we'll invite you to come along.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually come and have a wonderful time. I remember very well the day that I heard the announcement in 1954 about the Brown versus the Board of Education decision. I remember that day.
Do you? Okay. Where were you?
I was, you know, of course, in school that day and on the way home with my walking crew, because I walked to school most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the next season. See, I was running track and see, well, with this breaking down, we're going to be able to run against all these other guys, mm-hmm. Durham High in particular. Right here in Durham, we never had a track meet with Durham High,
mm-hmm.
Even though we were the best things going, and we knew we could beat them,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't compete against them mm-hmm. in any of the sports. So I remember that, and we talked about those things. But just the closeness of people, and the mere fact that they still stay in touch after all these years is great.
Really, yeah. I want to go back to what you just said about Brown versus Board, and did Hillside change in any way?
Not immediately.
Okay.
You see, with that discussion, that came another clause with all delivery speed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think you were talking to turtles? They really burn up the highway. I want you to know. It didn't happen instantly, you know. Changed a few things as they went about doing what they do, but I was out of high school well before there was any integration.
Okay.
A white kid never came to Hillside while I was there.
Okay.
Even though Brown was, 53?
54.
Mm-hmm. 54, so, you know, and 3 years later, they still had integrated.
Was there any talk about it anymore at the school?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, lots of talk, but that's all it was.
Okay.
Talking, not so much at the school, but, you know, in the board meetings and all that stuff, they were mm-hmm. talking about it, trying to prepare for something they really, really didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then the other big thing was that there was a big push for the county schools and the city schools to merge.
Oh, even back in?
Hillside was a city school.
Okay.
Merrick Moore, Little River were county schools.
Okay. You know,
they were county schools. But there was a strong push on the part of the county to become part of the city school system.
This was in 1954?
Four.
Oh, and they didn't merge until 1992?
That's long. See, this is not a new thing.
Okay.
Not a new thing.
Oh, okay.
But then, you see, because of things that happened, then the county schools began to improve and get to be bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And then it turns out the city school wanted to become part of the county system.
Okay.
Because of the resources and all that came mm-hmm. in. The research triangle brought a lot of research
mm-hmm.
sources in. So then it just sort of flipped off as to who wanted to be part of whom.
Okay.
So Durham Public Schools is a good compromise. Long time coming, but it's been on the drawing board a long time.
And so Hillside didn't really change because of the Brown Rule until many, many years.
Many years, many years, yes. Exactly okay. right. It didn't change a great deal.
Did Durham change at all? I mean, there's this ruling that says you're supposed to be doing school integration, and it sounds like people at Hillside were okay. They weren't waiting, going, oh, any day now.
We didn't wait.
Any day now. Okay.
Didn't wait for that to happen because, you know, we being the students, and I suspect the administrators also didn't have much of a choice. They had to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And the wheels of justice grind very slow sometimes. That was so fine.
Mm-hmm.
But as those things were happening, then it finally got to the point where you use up all the reasons and excuses for not doing what the court of the land
okay.
had declared.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to do something.
Okay.
There was no riot as I remember. Anything like that. Some little apprehension here because on both sides, as to what it's going to be like on day one.
Mm-hmm.
I have brothers who went to Durham High, Durham High, I suppose, because of where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Where they broke the town up.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a certain area, you had to go to this school.
Right.
So all of my family did not graduate from Hillside.
Okay.
But, after I graduated from Hillside and went to college and all that stuff, I went away to see the world and make my fortune and mm-hmm. stuff, when I wound up back home. But my experience with Hillside was so positive that when I came back, I had kids at school age at that, junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to go to Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give a hard hoot if I had to pay tuition.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to have that experience mm-hmm. that we talk about. And my kids did graduate from Hillside.
And did they say they had the same, did they have the same feelings?
Yeah, well, they do, but you remember now things have changed.
Yeah.
I don't think that Hillside has now
mm-hmm.
the intensity mm-hmm. of camaraderie that we had.
Okay.
Probably because there's so many other things to do and get involved
mm-hmm.
in, but our life is sort of centered around Hillside and the activities that it
mm-hmm.
does. We had an annual production stage play that was called Mr. G's Swing School.
I heard about Mr. G's Swing School.
And Mr. G's was absolutely, absolutely terrific.
Now, what exactly was it?
It was a variety show.
Okay.
Using all high school talent.
Okay.
We did songs, we did dances, you did show music, you did skits, the whole shebang.
Who was Mr. G?
Mr. G was an English teacher.
Okay.
English teacher. One of those people I talked about who got the butter from his duck.
Uh-huh.
And he really did. Now, when you were in practice for his swing school,
mm-hmm.
You'd come to school at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to practice your part.
Okay.
Or you'd stay until 6 to 7 o'clock in the afternoon to practice your part. Because he took no mess. And that was quite a show.
Mm.
Quite a show. So anybody who ever saw one of those things would be, you just wouldn't believe it. I just wish that we had the technology at this point to have recorded one of those things.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the talent that came out.
Yeah. I can imagine. I'm sure a whole Durham community would come out.
Whole
black Durham community.
Yeah,
okay.
It was every year. Mm. Yeah, everybody looked for it. Come spring, it's time for swing school. I'm glad when swing school is over so I can start studying my lesson. We put the time in to do that. So it was nice. And it was really a privilege to be a part of swing school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was at least a 2-hour production.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got bored.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about what it was like just living in Durham when you were growing up?
Durham was home. Home is always the best place in the world. I don't know if there's anything super exciting or outstanding that I can say about Durham, except that in retrospect, when you're in it, you don't pay a lot of attention, but right. you get on the other side and you can look back and you see those things. Then went through an awful lot of changes. Awful lot of changes, both socially and economically. And, urban renewal came through and changed everything. That's when they tore down Hayti.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hayti was, I know where the Hayti Heritage Center is.
That was the heart of Hayti.
Okay. And then it was just kind of like a circular area around that?
No boundaries.
Okay.
No boundaries.
Okay.
But if you wanted to sort of set parameters, you know where Roxburgh Street and the underpass is
mm-hmm.
on Pettigrew Street?
Mm-hmm.
I think Hayti would start about there.
Okay.
And would come all the way down Pettigrew Street, down Fielder Street, and come down to, I would say, Stanford Air Warren Library, or maybe even down as far as a college.
Okay.
University.
Okay.
So, and all the stuff that's in between.
Okay.
So, there may be some other little areas in there that are not necessarily called Hayti, or subsections, if you will. But
okay.
Basically, that's what Hayti was. And you wanted to be in Hayti on the weekend.
Why is that?
That's where things happen.
What kind of things were happening in Hayti?
You name it, you could find it in Hayti. If you wanted to do it, it was in Hayti.
What kind of things did you do in Hayti?
Whatever was out there. Whatever. And I was old enough to do.
Okay.
No, but seriously, the Hayti was the entertainment center of the black world. If you do all the fun things, you had your theaters there, you had what dining facilities there were, and I don't remember two or three. I remember the donut shop and Elbow's Blue Tavern, and the Green Candle.
Heard about the Green Candle.
And those are about the only places you could go sit down and have a decent meal.
My mom said that was cool if a guy took you to the Green Candle.
That's right.
That was the place to be.
You know what? If somebody was really serious about wooing you, mm-hmm. you had to have at least one dinner at the Green Candle. You could buy a whole dinner for 52 cents. Meatloaf, but it would be a whole dinner. With iced tea and a toss salad.
Can't beat it.
52 cents. But that's where, seriously, the pool rooms, you know, all mm-hmm. those things were there. And at night, of course, there were lots of little juke joints and things you could mm-hmm. do. Petite Berlin. Square Club, all over the places where you go on the weekend where they had live bands. We didn't have, DJs then, had live bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they were jumping. But they started on Wednesday. Wednesday, the middle of the week, that was called Hump Day.
Okay.
So everybody, the week's half over, it's all downhill from here is what they said. So Wednesday night was a big night out on town, so you do that. And then come Friday, so. Right, but you know, we had a great time with lots of things to do. You meet people. Nowadays, I don't know that this is you have those things, but I don't know if the nightlife now is anywhere near as exciting now as it mm-hmm. was during those times.
Certainly
isn't as safe, I would say. So. Of course, we got a few fights every now and then, but that's to be expected. But it happens anywhere with everybody, but not outrageous or something.
Right. Well, okay. I think I got a general history of, I have a general impression of Hillside and kind of what it was like to live in Durham. Let's go back to the education piece just a little bit.
Okay.
Since I'm sitting here with a seasoned educator. What did people think was a good education for blacks at the time when you were kind of going through school?
Well, I guess if you were to sort of weigh high school diplomas, Hillside, graduating from Hillside was the pinnacle.
Okay.
That was really a good thing. You got a degree from Hillside, that means you smart.
Okay.
It was looked at that way because they recognized the quality of instruction that went on at the school. And they assumed that because you got through it, you had to retain some of that stuff.
Okay.
It was good. And I truly believe, as I said, I go back down, and I look over some of the things that we were exposed to. I think my teachers did a terrific job. You know, I have my grandchild now with some of the stuff, and and I'm still drawing on stuff that we did then. Mm-hmm. They're doing the same thing, they got a new twist to it, they call it by a different name. Mm-hmm. Same old, same old. Mm-hmm. But we got a very good foundation for doing, especially the serious students. Okay. The serious students got. And if you don't believe it, just take a look at some of the success stories that we've got. Ben Ruffin, Ernie Bonds, athletes, Wes Covington. Ernie Bonds was also involved in it. He played football. Jeannie Lucas. If I sit here for a few minutes, I'm sure I could come up with a whole lot more, maybe not well as known as those individuals, but certainly of note, mm-hmm. and who have succeeded very well. And
you think this is because of the firm foundation at Hillside?
It has to be. Mm-hmm. It has to be. If you don't have I don't care what the job is or the occupation is or what your station in life is, mm-hmm. if you don't have a solid foundation, you can only go so high before mm-hmm. the thing just starts crumbling on you mm-hmm. or leaving. So mm-hmm. you've got to build it solidly. And unfortunately, I think sometimes now people are passed along without a firm grasp of those basic things, and it truncates their advancement. Mm-hmm. It really does. And that's not a blast at anybody. Just right. an observation and belief. I think we got a good foundation. It was there for us.
Okay.
It may be there now too, but mm-hmm. you have so many more distractions there and everything. So, but and that may detract some form or force you to do things different ways. But you still need to get that solid foundation.
And so, in addition to the, did they do anything else? Let me say it this way: I'm hearing you during this conversation say that you formed some personal relationships
yes.
with teachers, that you felt like they cared about you,
yes.
that they gave you a solid foundation in terms of basic skills,
yes.
and could also give you more if you wanted that
yes.
for those advanced students.
Yes, do all the above.
Okay. Is there anything more that you feel like they did, that they send you additional messages or that you think would be important for people to know about?
Well, it was a two-pronged message. That message was about academics
okay.
and achieving. It was also about life skills.
Okay.
I don't think that today's teacher, and once again I'm making a general statement,
gotcha.
And I don't want to be taken the absolute wrong. I don't know if the teacher today has the time and or inclination to do that to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Get you out of class and make sure that I have covered the material that I'm supposed to, and go for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And generalization, but that's something I do really, because they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, really
oh,
busy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then again, they have some other things against them. Class sizes now are much larger than they were then.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly, I don't care how good a teacher is, they can't spare themselves evenly amongst 36 kids.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And it makes a difference on you. Somebody's going to come up on the short end, and any time there's someone on the short end, it's always the student.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
So, that be as well. Hillside was marvelous. My entire experience with Hillside is, I have nothing but glowing terms of adoration.
You never had a bad day at Hillside?
A great day out way. You know, everybody's had bad days.
Yeah.
You know, things didn't go quite well. I peed off with a teacher or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's personal. That's
mm-hmm.
not Hillside.
Right.
Some teachers, I didn't like all my teachers. But you know, I remember them, and in retrospect, I certainly see what it was that they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, if I would have sit down and had to erase it, I don't have anything but glowing things to say.
Do you think that there are some things that Hillside did that have now been lost now that schools are integrated?
That's hard for me to answer because, see, I'm not close to the school now, like
okay.
I used to, you know, and and I'm totally on the outside. I'm not in the system. Even though my wife was a guidance counselor there for 12, 15 years, she's a guidance counselor. My wife has a bleeding heart, so she used to bring a lot of that stuff home, you know. As cool, that's a year, 100 years. Right, she always want to talk to me right in the middle of a football game.
That's our prime time.
Yeah.
We got you.
You don't
there.
Really hear something. We're not paying attention, but she's a caring person, and I think that sometimes you wear her heart on her sleeve. So she would get really uptight sometimes if things didn't go well. And her main concern was always the student. And she'd come home fussing about the system and the policies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But always on the side of the student. Mm-hmm. And she'd come down on them when they were wrong, but she was always trying to do for them. I don't know if that's the normal mode for the counselors now, because once again, they got so much to do.
Right.
And so many other things pulling on them. And the bureaucracy now has increased tenfold. Mm-hmm. That's what teachers are responsible for. Responsible for record keeping and all that other stuff that really has nothing to do with instruction.
Well, you're right about that.
If they had more time to put into instruction, it may be better.
Well, do you have any thoughts on what special things Hillside did? And I think we covered some of it, but I want to make sure I got it. What special things that Hillside did to prepare so well their black students?
You know, I don't know if it was Hillside or if it was just the menagerie of things that just sort of came together.
Okay.
You know, the legacy that was passed down for years, you know, being a Hillside student or graduating from Hillside or rubbing elbows with people who went to Hillside, you know, those things, and parents going back and telling their kids about the great times they had, you know, and all those things. The legacy has passed down like you would believe. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's all we knew. We had, there's a sense of pride in Hillside. Once there was some talk about changing the name of Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction, that if that had happened, we would have had a major riot in Durham.
You think so?
Oh yeah. Feelings are so high and so strong about Hillside and maintaining Hillside that any move to get rid of that name would be a slap in the face that would be met with
We bias. Heard around the world.
It would. I really believe that.
Okay.
Saving the name Hillside for the new building was the smartest thing in the world to do.
Okay.
In my estimation. Even though it's not the building, I went to the old Hillside. But I knew what they were doing when they built us. And I know they could tear the damn building down forever.
Mm-hmm.
They can never take my feelings or my experiences away because you tear a building down.
Mm-hmm.
My building is in my head and in my heart, and it will always be there, even though I still like to ride by and see the name Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
My loyalty and my emotions still go to the old building. But I was not bitter when they did it because I knew progress comes and just changes. I don't particularly like what's happened to the new Hillside then, because I think they get an awful lot of bad press.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of decisions are made with an underlying reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to deface or defame Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
Why do you think that is, when Hillside has had such a strong legacy and tradition within this community? I can't imagine. And I'm not a member of, well, I am now, but I don't understand that tactic.
Well, now you get into to politics, which is something I pay attention to, but I don't play.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't play. I voice my concerns, but I don't jump on bandwagons and beat drums and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have some beliefs, however ill-founded they may be, about how and why. But I'm not close enough to the situation or the problem to go around proclaiming that this and this is so, right. And you need to do such and such a thing. Right. But I have my belief.
Okay. Okay. So going back to Hillside, when it was, they tore down the old Hillside, and they moved it down the street and built the new building. People seem to be okay with that as long as the name
eventually
stayed the same. Okay.
That was acceptable.
Okay.
Their preference would have been for you to fix the old building.
Okay.
But, you know, logic tells you that's, you know, a 70-80-year-old building. Mm-hmm. It was economically more advantageous to get rid of and do another. Mm-hmm. A lot of people cried behind that decision, mm-hmm. to tear the old building down, mm-hmm. even though in their heart they knew that the new building was probably better for the kid. They wanted to hold on to what was. You know. And I will admit, I went by there a number of days as they were tearing it down, and I just looked at the dust, you know, mm-hmm. and think about those things and all the memories I had of that building.
Well, I read in the paper that there was kind of a pep rally there right before they were going to tear it down.
Yeah, it there was, and I don't know what the real reason for that was, trying to stop the bulldozers or what, you know.
Okay.
If that was the case, then I think it was ill-founded, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
You gather, the way to make the legacy of Hillside continue is to be very supportive of the new building up there,
okay.
and I think that people know exactly where we stand and maintain or demand some of the things to be changed. We do that. And those are things for the real politically active people.
Mm-hmm.
As parents and things, you need to continue to voice your concerns and let it be known. You stand up and be counted when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions come down, you need to let it be known. Hillside can still be a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the makings and the track. And if there can be some stability at Hillside,
mm-hmm.
last 6 years have been, what, 4-5 principals up there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You cannot have stability in any institution when you've got that kind of a change.
Mm-hmm.
So and as long as that happens, Hillside is going to be an institution in trouble.
Okay.
In trouble. And I pray that they will find a principal who will bring that stability there. But it won't be as long as Durham politics uses that as a political football.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem.
Okay. I'm taking up a lot of your time, and I want to make sure I've got it.
I'm still talking.
Yes, you are. Telling me a lot of good stuff. If somebody were to come to me and say, I know you've talked to some people about Hillside, what is it that you've learned about why Hillside instills such pride in the Durham, in the Black Durham community? What would I tell them?
I think you could tell them that through your talking thing, you have got a different perspective on the importance,
okay.
of that institution in the lives of a whole multiple generations of Blacks.
Okay.
It was a crown and glory. To go to Hillside was something to really strive for. To go and finish Hillside. That seemed to be the thing that opened the door to almost anything else that you wanted to do. Now it was up to you,
mm-hmm.
to take advantage of it, because you certainly were prepared to go out and do that. Hillside did that.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
No. I think I've talked enough for one day.
All right, well, we'll stop the tape.
And I hope that it'll be helpful to you.